Hi, and welcome to So You Want to Be a Data Scientist podcast. On this podcast, I interview professionals from different branches of data to inform the aspiring data scientist out there. And I've been there. I was an aspiring data scientist myself, and I know how hard it is to navigate everything data science alone. That's why I want to share what I've learned with you. Learning data science doesn't have to be scary or overwhelming. On my website, I share weekly articles, interviews with data professionals, and online courses to guide you on your data science learning journey, so that you can use your time efficiently instead of getting distracted, and learn all the necessary skills, and only the necessary skills, and be ready as a data science professional for hiring. Check out the website. It's soyouwanttobeadatascientist.com. Hello, everyone. Today, I have Kasia Rahuta with me. She is joining us from San Francisco. She's a product analyst at Square, and she's going to talk about being a product analyst today. So welcome, Kasia.
Thank you.
So let's start with your company a little bit. What is Square? What are you guys doing over there?
Sure. So Square's mission is economic empowerment. We started with a little white card reader and haven't stopped there. A Wingy Reader helps our seller accept chip cards and NFC payments. And we have tools for customers too, like our Cash App, which lets people send money to friends and family instantly.
I see. So it is a kind of like a bank?
It's not kind of like a bank. It's a financial services company.
I see. Okay. And you're a product analyst there?
Yes.
And what does a product analyst do? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So product analyst does data science focused on a product. So this role typically involves a lot of A/B testing, typically shorter analysis versus long-term research projects. It's focused on product aspects such as user segmentation, funnel analysis, etc. I make sure that engineers implement correct tracking for events so that we can run our analysis. And a product analyst also works very closely with a product manager or product managers, and often designers. So in my previous roles, I did work on app releases and I was reporting on how many users we were gaining. And to give you a different example, marketing analysts are focused on marketing data and analysis, and product analysts are focused on the product. Some companies call these roles product analysts, some call them data scientists. I have also encountered product data scientists or product data analysts.
I see. So it's basically you're a data scientist, but really, really highly focused on a special product.
Yeah.
Okay. So so you said you are working closely with product owners also. Does that mean that you get to have a lot of say in where the product goes next and what the new feature will be?
It varies from a company to a company. It definitely gives me an opportunity to offer my opinions. So I had a lot of conversation with one of my previous managers about whether we feel that product analysts should have opinions about product. And the conclusion is, yes, you should have opinions on product because you know the data very well. And you can back up your opinions with data very well. But ultimately, it's the product managers or product owners call about what to do.
I see. And how long have you been a product analyst?
So I have been at Square for about a year, and I've been in various product analytics roles prior to working at Square, also under a data scientist title for almost 5 years now.
And but you said before Square, you were also working at other companies as a data scientist or product analyst.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about how you ended up where you are right now? Where did you start? What was your background? What was your journey?
Sure. So I have a master's in theoretical physics, so I'm used to spending time in front of a computer and analyzing data. I studied in London, and before I graduated, I felt like everyone was going down the path of like one of two careers, which was either management consulting or investment banking. And while those careers are perfectly fine, I didn't feel a particular draw to either of them. So I decided to take a gap year. I traveled for a few months, and then I came to San Francisco for a data analysis internship to try something new and to see if that career may suit me.
Oh, I see. But yeah, it's interesting that people with a background in physics would go to investment banking. It doesn't really sound like a logical next step, does it?
It kind of doesn't, but there's a lot of physicists there.
Oh, interesting. Maybe, you know, it's a really complicated area or something and you need some theoretical mathematics background.
Potentially, I literally know nothing about investment banking. So
yeah, it's interesting. But how did you study for data science to end up at a data scientist position?
So I learned some coding in my degree. And, you know, as I mentioned, after I graduated, I took the data analysis internship. So I learned SQL and Python via online courses. I took a lot of them. So I used Udemy, I used Coursera. There's a bunch of other really useful websites. And then I tried using those skills in my roles. I also tried to take on projects that will stretch me technically. And I like to take projects that would also allow me to learn new skills or expand my current skill set. And when I was starting out, I spent a lot of time going to meetups. And now I'm a PyLadies mm-hmm. organizer. So that's a group for women who code in Python. And I wanted to learn from other people. I also spend time going to code and coffee meetups where mm-hmm. I would work on different side projects or just go through data on Kaggle and try to analyze it and try to munge it. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't easy. I spent my first year after graduation starting what I felt was a million courses, and I didn't finish a lot of them because you have to kind of pick and choose what you need. And in my second role, after my internship, I had a formal mentor, mm-hmm. and I keep in touch with him to this day. And that really, really helped to direct my learning and get a lot of feedback on my work and accelerate my learning.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to ask. It's really important when you're learning an area like data science, and you have someone that can guide you and tell you what the next step should be. So that person helps you to kind of help you show or see what the next thing you should learn is.
Yeah, absolutely. I did this thing where I was learning SQL and I was learning Python, and I decided to start learning R, and he helped me to take a step back and said, look, you should focus on one thing. You shouldn't learn both Python and R. Just pick one and become good at it. And it actually doesn't really matter which one it is, as long as you kind of pick one and really focus on it.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I think so too, because yeah, sometimes people get really excited about certain technologies and then they want to learn everything about it. But one thing to keep in mind when you're just starting out is that you have to take it one step at a time and not try to take on everything at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what made you attracted to data science? Why did you choose a data career?
So I knew I wanted a career that combined both business with research skills I gained in my degree. So I knew I didn't want to go into academia, but I still wanted to use those skills. And I think, honestly, it's really fun to tell people, especially men, if you're in a male-dominated field like this one, what to do based on the data pool or like the analysis I run.
Uh-huh. Nice. And do you get to do that every day now?
not every day. I mean, yeah, I don't think I get to do it every day. I do get to do it occasionally or mm-hmm. once I learn an analysis with some output. But I remember at my internship, I had a moment where I got to tell the CEO what to do based on the data I pulled, and it felt great.
Nice. And you're not like, this is my opinion. You're like, well, this is what the evidence says.
Precisely.
I'm not just making this up. So now, yep. That's definitely a fun side effect of data science. Okay, so I want to talk about a little bit of like your day-to-day work. So can you tell us a little bit about like what do you do every day specifically? Like you arrive in the office, then what are your typical tasks?
So when I arrive in the office, I usually make myself a cup of tea. Special
to data scientists.
So in my current team, I have been focused on building out metrics. So I talk to a lot of product and engineering managers, trying to understand what's important to them, and I scope the metrics out with them. I write SQL queries for ad hoc requests or help people with their queries. And I spend a lot of time in Looker, which is our BI tool, building out our dashboards. I also spend a fair amount of time monitoring data quality and digging into issues, as well as working through those issues with engineers who implemented the tracking.
So you said some of your time is spent also on talking to people, and that's something I'm also interested in too, because when people talk about data science, they tend to think that it has a lot to do with coding, like a developer, whereas in my opinion, it also has a lot to do with the people facing factor where you have to go on meetings and understand the requirements. So that you experienced that too in your position?
Oh, so much. And I think maybe that's also an aspect of product analytics that I feel like that's even more people facing. Mm-hmm. So I get to interact with different people quite a lot. So besides in my team, besides building metrics or running analysis for them, I'm also building our data culture and helping other people to be more data literate and data driven. Mm-hmm. So the latter part of my job involves talking to a lot of people. And as you said, understanding requirements and making sure that people are getting what they need is definitely a big part of my role. And one thing I found throughout my roles, this isn't specific to Square, this isn't specific to any role, that a lot of the time people think they need a piece of data, but once you start digging into why they need it, it actually you can help them realize that they need something different, or you can offer them something different that is not gonna take as much time.
Yeah, exactly. I experienced it a lot too, and I think that's something that a beginner should learn really fast. When you're first starting out, obviously you have this excitement of like, oh, I should use like deep learning for everything and then everyone will be really impressed. And then you start out and then you realize that actually what people need is like a simple dashboard or maybe even just like one visualization. So let's talk about your team a little bit. So I know every company has a different setting and different structure, but how does it work with you? Are you in a product team and you're the only product analyst there, or are you in like a product analysts team separately in the company? How does the team structure work with you guys?
Sure. So I'm currently part of a mobile app platform team. So Square has an embedded model. So that means that product analysts are actually members of their respective product teams. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's a mobile app platform, which is a little bit unusual if you call that a product. We have a bigger product analytics community with a bi-weekly meeting, and we have a shared Slack channel where we share project ideas, updates. We can ask each other for feedback or help. We sometimes collaborate in cross-functional projects. So I really like the fact that I get the autonomy to work on my own product team and then the help and support from other product analysts. I found that to be the best of both worlds.
I see. That sounds great. But so you're working in one specific product team, and how does it work with you in terms of, you know, getting different kinds of work? Because I could imagine that if you work on the same product after some time, you would know everything to know about it and maybe not feel like you're challenged enough. How do you experience it?
So it's up to me to find my own challenges, to be honest. And, you know, part of my work is reactive, part of my work is proactive. So it's up to me to find those challenges and figure out what I can do to stretch myself.
So then what kind of projects do you guys work on right now? Or how does the projects or how do the projects evolve in time? Who comes up with them?
So I usually work with our product manager and I learn what's on our roadmap for the upcoming quarter. And then I try to figure out what projects will require data support. So this is more reactive work. And then I try to figure out how I can be proactive and run some analysis to get ahead of the teams and propose solutions for other projects. And then I have to prioritize them because there are always more projects than there is time. And one of the things I found, as I mentioned throughout my career, that people often have been coming to me with curiosities because it would be really interesting to like see this or that. And then I have to make sure that I steer those conversations towards something like, okay, what product decision would you make based on this data? And people don't often realize their curiosity is 3 days of nonstop computational work for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Then your job is not only to know what data science can do, but also to educate other people and make sure that they're not getting ahead of themselves.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah, I see it a lot in data science, maybe because there is this hype around it right now. People seem to think that you can do a lot of things with a swing of your magic wand, but that's really not true. That, you know, you put a lot of work into all these solutions that seemingly are really magical. But yeah, I think it's our job to educate people and make sure that we manage expectations in that sense.
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about the tools that you use a little bit. What kind of tools do you use on your daily work? Because I know one of the things that aspiring data scientists are having problems with is they don't really know what they should learn. You know, as you said, you were learning like Python and R at the same time. But what would you say are the most important skills a person should have to be where you are right now?
Sure. So in my job, I write a lot of SQL queries. So at Square, we use Snowflake for querying. So there is some Snowflake specific syntax that doesn't really matter. I've used a bunch of other different tools for querying in the past. The syntax is always a little bit different. You can Google that. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, Looker is our BI tool. I also use that in one of my previous roles. And occasionally I use Python on Jupyter notebooks.
Mm-hmm. So that's not really common that you use Jupyter then?
Not as much. I think that's also a personal choice. Mm-hmm. If something is faster and easier to get with SQL, I prefer to use SQL. Especially at the beginning of my career, I used to use Python a lot more just because of all the hype. Mm-hmm. But really, that was slowing me down a bit at times.
Yeah, I can see how that is possible. Okay, that sounds good. And we already talked about this a little bit, but just to clarify for our listeners, what do you guys deliver at the end of a project? I mean, I understand it could be different sometimes, but is there like a typical thing that you deliver most of the time, like a presentation or a list of decisions or insights, etc., something like that?
So that depends on the project. So when I build out metrics for a team, my output is often a Looker dashboard that then I talk my stakeholders through. So they can use it. Mm-hmm. For analysis, there tend to be more write-ups and reports that I share out with my stakeholders.
It seems to me like you are really in the decision-making part of things.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's actually very accurate.
Yeah, because many times I talk to fellow data scientists and they are more in the let's try something and see if it works. We're trying this new interesting approach kind of thing. And then many times those things are not end up being used. And that's also one of the things that I hear people complain about a lot, how experimental things tend to be. But it's great to be in your shoes, actually, so that you know of the effect that you're making and you're helping people in the business decide evidence-based or data-based. So that's great.
Yeah, I think that is also like more typical for product analytics.
I see. So you're saying more than data scientists, a product analyst tend to be closer to the decision-making process.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. That's really good information. Okay. So let's talk about how you see your job. Can you tell me the thing that is the most exciting or the most fun thing about your job, in your opinion?
This is a really hard question for me to answer.
I know.
Like, there are so many things I enjoy about my job.
Oh, that's great.
If I have to pick one, I think it is driving decisions with data and especially impacting changes to product or our roadmaps based on like the analysis I run.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also great to be able to see immediate results of what you're doing, right? And what about the most boring part of your job? The thing that you don't like the most, if that's the proper way of asking it.
Sure. So building ETL, so the extract, transform, load jobs, that's not my favorite thing to do. Like, I understand it's necessary to run analysis or build models or build efficient dashboards, but mm-hmm. it's the slightly less shiny and more dull part of my role.
What did you call them?
ETLs, the extract, transform, load jobs.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that, actually. So that is basically building building off a dashboard, or?
So it's you take one table and then you manage the data, you transform it into something. Typically, it's cleaning it, removing duplicates, or aggregating the data in some way, and then creating a second table that you can use. Often that's done to speed up a giant table and kind of chop it up as well.
I see. You do it with SQL?
A lot of the time, yes. It depends on where you're pulling from your data source. So mm-hmm. a lot of it is SQL. If you are using an API from somewhere, that would be more Python work.
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't like that. I mean, I kind of like the data cleaning bit every time because it kind of teaches me like new things about the data. But if I'm doing it only for performance issues, I think I would also not end up liking it so much.
Yeah, it varies. Some of the ETL jobs are more fun than others.
I'm sure. Okay, so more of like a culture-ish question. You're a female product analyst, and do you encounter any bias now or before because you're a woman in this area? Because, you know, it's a really technical area and mostly tends to be male-dominated.
Yeah, so thankfully the group of product analysts at Square is fairly gender balanced. Mm-hmm. But I have unfortunately encountered bias in my previous roles. For example, I had a PM mansplaining to me my job and trying to help me to do it. And there are times when I had to spend a lot of time explaining to him that my queries were more correct than his queries. And mm-hmm. sometimes I had to literally just sit down side by side with him and compare my results with his results to prove I was right. And, you know, you can imagine it just didn't feel like the best use of my time.
Yeah.
And I also had one former manager commented on like my character traits and feedback, such as enthusiasm. And I've learned recently that research shows that men tend to receive feedback that's based on their work and women get more feedback on their character.
Yeah, it's definitely not fair. I think there are a lot of things still needs to be balanced in this area, but I feel like we're in the right track, at least right now. Things are getting slightly better every day.
Yeah, I like to be hopeful too and optimistic.
Okay, so my last question to you for today, do you have any advice for an aspiring product analyst or someone who wants to get into a data career?
So I think my main piece of advice here would be learn SQL and learn it well. So we've already talked about it. I find that a lot of folks jump straight into learning Python. And the truth is you will be spending a lot of your time in SQL. And it does often help to clean the data in SQL or to munch it a little bit before jumping into analyzing it in mm-hmm. Python.
Yeah. Okay. And with that was my last question, Kasia. Thanks a lot for joining today. And thanks a lot for sharing all your experience with us. I'm sure everyone listening will be gaining really useful insights from this. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.